All of our young people are being dismissed. This morning, we're turning over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 this morning, and if you'll follow along with me, we're going to read verses 14 through 17 in this still introductory portion of the letter to the church in Rome. We're going to read a section that is continuing the heartbeat of Paul as he's introducing his desire to come to this church, who he is in the gospel of Christ personally, that he is one who is saved and who's been called to be an apostle. And he's sharing now this attitude of, I must tell everyone this good news. And I want you to follow along in verses 14 through 17 and capture the heartbeat of the apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, if you're using the Bible there in the pew, it's page number 140. Romans chapter 1, verse number 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. These are powerful verses and statements that Paul is making as he introduces what he is going to be sharing with this church, and that the power of the gospel is a theme of the book of Romans. Verse number 16, we could say, is very much a theme of this entire book, if you were to encapsulate it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the first of a couple of parts of this section regarding Paul's desire to tell everyone. And if you're taking notes, the title this morning would be, I Must Tell Everyone. And part one, I must tell everyone, part one. Father, I pray that you will help us as we look in your word today to have a clear picture of this fervency and passion to tell others, and that we would see rightly why that fervency was in the Apostle Paul, who that burden to share the truth with was extended to, what it was also all about, that we would see clearly this gospel message over the weeks ahead and its impact and what it will do in our lives as we submit ourselves to it and to the thinking of our Savior who gave himself for us. I pray that you would be glorified in this time this morning, and that if one is here or watching online who does not yet know Christ as their personal Savior, that they would see this morning what it is that has transformed us. And ones like Paul the Apostle is the work of Jesus Christ. Nothing of ourselves, nothing about which we can boast in ourselves, but of our Savior we must boast. Of our Savior we must declare. And we thank you for the gift of salvation in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 1, as I've said, is an introductory to Paul's heart in sharing much of what will be doctrine regarding the gospel and its impacts, and a lot of questions that Paul will be answering in the following chapters. And as I mentioned as well, when we get to the end in chapter 12 and following, there's a lot of application. And at times we're going to jump back and forth and see some of those things that are going to be what this truth at the beginning of the book is applying to, so that we can see where it's going. In the introduction, though, Paul is sharing what his heartbeat is. And in part, he shares this because he wants them to capture that heart for themselves, to see their position in the gospel. And I want to share that with you this morning. Now, oftentimes we have big news. Big news we want to share. I remember as a young guy before I was married, big news was, you know, if we got a new gun, or, you know, if we got a new truck, or if we got a new, if you're in the country, a tractor. What is it everyone wants to show off? What they just got that's new, right? We want to talk about the new thing that we got, and we want to share about it. We want to talk about it. If you're a girl, it's much different than four-wheelers and tractors. What's a girl want to show off? Her engagement ring, right? Get the right hand up here. her engagement ring. You know, she's doing this to everybody. She's got something she wants to share. Is she afraid of telling anybody about it? No, she wants to show all of her friends. Yeah, that day's coming. You've seen your sisters and everyone else. And this, isn't it true? Is there any shame? It's just, you know, now we take a picture of it and it's out there and we share it on Facebook. We want everyone to know this. Big news when someone gets married. You know, we write just married on the side of their car. And it's a badge of honor to have that on your car until everyone keeps honking at you long enough and then you take it off, right? But we're excited about those big news. Or when someone's just had a child, a newborn, new arrival. I don't see it here in Indiana like I saw it in Tennessee. But people would put signs in their yards, new arrival and balloons. And do they do that around here too? Maybe there's just not as many babies as there were in Tennessee where we were. I don't know. But people are excited to declare the news. Something has happened, and we want everyone to know it. I don't know. Now we do that on social media. We tell everyone on social media the big news. Can I tell you that there's something, though, that Paul is unashamed to declare? He must declare it. He must make it the thing that his life is all about. He's declaring it with emphasis in these verses, in verses 14 through 17, and it is the gospel of Christ. And we're going to be given a picture of a man who has something to tell to everyone, and he will reveal in this why he must tell, which we'll look at this morning, and how he must tell, and who he must tell. He tells us in these verses why he must tell this. He tells us who it is he's going to give it to, and he tells us how. And he tells us in verse 16, which we'll look at next week, Lord willing, the what that he's going to tell, which I know we've already stated, the gospel. We'll take time next week to look at that in even more detail. But he has a passion to share this, and it's important. And if you were to take verses 14 through 16 and see what the central idea of this would be, those people reading this letter would hear, Paul is obligated to everyone and eagerly prepared to share the gospel and its powerful message. If you were to boil those verses down to a central thought, it would be that Paul is obligated to tell everyone, and he is eagerly prepared to share the gospel and its powerful message. Now, that doesn't surprise us because he's the Apostle Paul, right? But in hearing what he is eager and obligated to share, and who he's obligated to share it with, I think there's lessons for us this morning as well. For you and I to observe, because Paul is not doing what he does and just telling them this to boast about himself, is he? Paul's life isn't about making people followers of him and just puffing themselves up. What is it he wants them to have? Well, they can likewise have the same earnest and compelling desire to share Christ that he has. In fact, that's what his heartbeat is, because that's the heart of Christ, is to let others know what he has received and what it is that can change their lives. And I know you think, Pastor, you sound like you're just on kind of a broken record about sharing the gospel around here. Yes. There is nothing about which New Life Baptist Church is to be known more for than the fact that the gospel goes from this place. And that we talk about the gospel. And that we live out the gospel's life-changing impacts in our life. Which the book of Romans is going to have a lot of ways in which we can live out the power of the gospel. But it begins with, and it continually is reminded by, why I must share the gospel. Who I'm going to share it with. And how. And we're going to look at those three elements this morning. The why, the who, and the how of telling everyone. Last time we'd seen the previous passage that Paul wants to come to them, he wants to give to them, he wants to strengthen them, and we had seen that he wanted to share with them in that mutual faith. You see that again in verse number 12? That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And that reality that Paul saw that his coming to the church in Rome and spending time with them would not just be him helping them, but them helping him. There was a mutual response. And by the way, we have that opportunity every time we meet together. When you went to the funeral yesterday for the Alibos, you were in a mutual encouragement one of another. We do that with one another, not just at church on Sunday. We do that throughout the week, throughout our lives. There's a need for us to encourage each other and strengthen one another in our mutual faith. And now this goes on into what Paul is sharing with what he wants to accomplish in this church in the future. And I want you to jump ahead just real quick here to Romans 15. And I want you to see something, because this passage in his introduction connects to something that he's going to speak of later on in the chapter, in the book, in the letter. In Romans 15, verse 23, he's going to speak of something that he looks forward to as well in the future. And I bring it up now because these elements that he speaks of the gospel connect to what he hopes that they will help him along with. In Romans 15, verse 23, Paul says, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you," what does he say in verse 24 of Romans 15? "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come unto you. I will come unto you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." Now, he says, and we'll talk about this more, if this church would be fruitful and gospel-focused, as they already might be inclined to, but as he wants to see them strengthened in this, they would be able to support him, Paul, as he would future travel beyond them to Spain, was Paul's desire. Paul wanted to go on beyond Rome. Had he been to Rome yet at the time that he's writing this? No. He hasn't been that far. And he wants to already go beyond that. Now think of that for a minute. Is that faith? Oh, come on, y'all. Is it faith? I haven't even been to Rome yet, but I'm already looking at getting over to Spain. That's absolutely faith. Now, may God have other plans for him. Absolutely. But what is he looking forward to? I want more places to share what I have received and what people elsewhere need. And I want to tell you something. Preparation for future ministry is a big part of the book of Romans. And I didn't perhaps think of it that way, and so I've just been reading and reading and reading through. But as you keep reading through things like this in Romans 15, you begin to think, now wait a minute, why does the things at the beginning and all the things in the middle, what does this have to do with? Paul is seeing beyond them. And that their ministry and being prepared may have an impact on others. And if they will be well prepared in the gospel, guess what? Paul will be helped along by them. And not just financially, although that would have been a part of this, but that there might be people in Rome that Paul is praying, even before he knows who they are, who would be co-laborers with him on his trip to Spain, if God was going to take him to Spain. You know, you ought to think that way, Christian. Always thinking, who are the people that God might raise up, even amongst our young people here at New Life Baptist Church? Who are some of the young people that we're investing in now and declaring and teaching well the gospel and what serving and Christ-like living is, so that they would have a desire to go on? We have a wonderful opportunity to be involved in ministry beyond just right this moment. And Paul, and I know I'm diverting a little bit here from our passage, but Paul has a desire to prepare them for future ministry, establishing them in the gospel as part of that preparation. So go back to Romans 1, okay? We'll keep talking about that in the future as we go through the book of Romans, but I want you to have that in your mind, because if you can establish in your mind why Paul is getting all this stuff out there, you might start to see, okay, this isn't just about knowing stuff. This is about knowing so I can do something with it, so that I can be prepared to go forward in the work of the Lord. Going back to Romans chapter 1, verse 14, we see the first of the three parts in this today about why he must tell everyone. What's this urgency to go to places like Spain when you haven't even been to Rome yet? Why are you so urgent to tell people? Well, number one, why must Paul tell? That's a question I want you to consider this morning. Why must Paul tell? And you find the answer in verse 14 of chapter 1 in the book of Romans. Romans 1, verse 14. Why must Paul tell? Number one, I am a debtor. I am a debtor, Paul says. Look at verse number 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And the word used there for debtor means to be held under some obligation, bound by duty. I have to do this. It's not if I want to, if I think it'll be fun, if it looks like it'll be a fun vacation location. No, it's I have to do this. How many things in your life are that way? Obligation to do them. You know, we see a country that is starting to become less and less interested in obligation. No risk obligation is like, ooh, this sounds like maybe I can do this. I mean, Amazon, by the way, you can buy something and send it back if you don't like it, right? Easy as ever to return things. No obligation, no obligation. Why do we like no obligation type situations? I don't have to commit. I don't have to be locked in and this must take place. You know, we do know that obligations are important. Parenting is an obligation. Being married is an obligation. And you say, obligation just sounds really bad. Debtor just sounds really bad. I'm obligated to love my wife? Yes. There are days that it is easy and wonderful to love my wife. Are there ever days where I don't feel like someone else other than me needing to get attention? If you're honest, why do I love my wife even when I don't feel like doing that? Because it's an obligation that is right. It's a duty that I've committed to her, I pledged to her. You don't do things just because they're easy or because you love it more one day than another day. I don't feed my kids because, well, I feel like feeding Ethan today. No, I feed him because he needs to be fed, and it's an obligation. Do you follow this? Just in case you're wondering, Miss Lindsay and I are madly in love with each other. I say that because you all need to know there are times when you may not feel like you even love doing what your Savior wants. And you may say, does that mean I'm not saved or I don't love God? No, it may just mean there are times when it is hard in our body, in our mind, to do what we know we ought to do. You know what Paul says? What I do in my life is not because I feel like doing this. I am debtor. Now, why is that so important for us as a Christian to see? Paul saw telling others as an obligation, not an option. As an obligation, not an option. If option is, well, I feel like doing it today, or I don't feel like doing it today, what would his life have been characterized by? We like lots of options. Ooh, you know, the buffet. I shouldn't have brought up food on a Sunday morning, because now you're like, shoom. Option, 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 option. Or potlucks here at New Life. You guys have lots of options. We like options. Oh, I like this. No, I don't like this. Oh, I like this. Christian, can I tell you that the people that Paul is going to talk about giving the gospel to could not be option. Well, they're nice to me. They're not nice to me. They like me. They don't like me. That's not how he picks where he's going to go and who he's going to speak to. Telling others is not an option issue, and neither is it for you and I. The root word of that word debt is a word that's found often in the New Testament and translated, I think, 15 times as ought. The word ought is found often in our Bible. And it's an interesting idea. It's something we're under obligation to do. I ought to do something. And we oftentimes think ought as kind of like, well, you should. And that's true, but there's a deeper than just, you know, if you like to. It's a, you should do this. It's the right thing to do. It's the obligation that you're under. Turn over in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And you see in the book of 1 John three times that this word comes up. And it's found elsewhere as well. But it's found in 1 John. And I think it's interesting that we're reminded in 1 John how we're to think as a Christian. And it's a good place to see the heartbeat, I think, that Paul would have had as well. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says, in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So guess what I, as a Christian, am bound or under an obligation to do? If I say that I abide in him, I ought to be walking as he walked. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse number 16. Probably a page over in your Bible. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Am I under an obligation to do so? Absolutely. It's not a, well, I kind of feel like I would lay down my life today for them. In fact, isn't that what Paul's life could be characterized by? Laying down his life for the benefit of others? Getting stoned, beaten, ridiculed, hated on, living very poorly, Why? For others. His whole life's mission was that he would live out what he has observed in his Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:11 is another verse that speaks of this idea of ought. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, we find the words, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." If we've been shown this love, I ought to show this back to others. It's a debt. It's a responsibility. It is an obligation. And Paul, if you turn back to Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Paul is saying, I am a debtor to all because of the grace of God that's been shown to me. Because of God's kindness and mercy, I ought to show that to others. Can I tell you that's how you and I are to think as well? I'm to be a person who sees I am a debtor. When we recall God's mercy, how can we not love others and speak of Christ? You know what makes it difficult to be a good debtor, to see that I am a debtor, is when I've forgotten the mercy that's been shown to me. When I forget what has been done for me. When I forget the love of Christ, which 1 John is a good place to remember. Look at what he's done. This is why you ought to think this way. Look at Christ. Now think of this yourself. When I see Christ, I correctly see how I'm to operate, how I'm to live as one who is a debtor. And notice another aspect of this debt. Not only that he saw himself as an obligation, not an option, but Paul also saw his obligation as something to be shared in. He's speaking of this fact that he's a debtor. Why is he talking of it? Is he talking about the debt just to say, look at me, everybody, I am a debtor? Or is he speaking of it because it's something to be shared in? Every one of the people in Rome, he is inviting them to think like him. Again, this is an introduction that is sharing his heart, but setting up a pattern for them to think like as well. We saw that early on, he speaks of the fact that he's called, and in verse 7, they're called to be saints. He's connecting the dots between not just who he is as the great and amazing Apostle Paul, which he wouldn't call himself. We oftentimes lift him up here. Yeah, he's debtor. Wow. I'm a debtor. You're a debtor. And that's the way that we as Christians are to think. I owe a debt to others. I have an obligation to others. Paul has talked about his obligation. And some obligations or debts we don't like to talk about, do we? I mean, we don't go around talking to everyone, hey, let me tell you about all my debts. It's not like the common thing that we do in our culture, is it? We kind of hold back our debts. We don't talk about them. Or if we have a debt, it's not like a big thing we talk about. Or we definitely don't go, you know what, Brother Bob, I have this debt, and would you like to share in this with me?
Sure.
Right. That's not how we normally think, right? We think, oh, my debt's my responsibility. Paul is talking about his debt, and he's sharing this debt with others, which is the second thing. Paul saw his obligation, his debt, as something to be shared in. Now, look over at Romans 13, verse 8, and you'll see this. Romans 13 and verse 8. Same word that we find here regarding debt, we find in Romans 13 and verse 8. And again, this is in the practical section of this letter. And so Paul is going to be talking about some things that, because of what we see early on in the gospel, they need to be lived out. But I'm kind of connecting the dots for you here, okay? Romans 13, verse 8, we'll just briefly consider it. It says in Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, there's a lot that we could talk about this verse. And I want you to catch this. Paul is not emphasizing here it's wrong to have a debt, okay? Some great people in the past have thought that. But it's a verse that is saying, you will always be in debt to love others. You will always be in debt to love others. And he's not just saying, I'm this, as he is in chapter 1. Now in chapter 14 or 13, he's saying, you need to love others. You need to have a mindset that sees You need to owe no man anything but to love others. This is something you never pay off. Many of you have paid off mortgages. This church had a mortgage early on for its property, I think, and paid it off rather quickly. I'm sure that was a glorious day, wasn't it? And this church right now is debt-free. Isn't that a blessing? Absolutely, it's a blessing. But can I remind you of something? We, as much as we like to pay off debts, ought not say, okay, we're done. By the way, that can be a very easy place for us to get into as a church. We've got more to do. Amen? Yes, we do. Now, Pastor's going to talk about what your next projects are. Well, we will have more things we do, and I look forward to doing them without having to be in debt. I look forward to doing them with faith. But can I remind you something, Christian? As much as we like the idea of being debt-free, you are never finished paying the debt of love to others. Never. Why is that important? Well, it's part of the why question of why Paul sees himself as having to tell others the gospel. He sees himself as never finished. I've got more to do. There's more that I need to talk of my Savior because there are more people that I have not yet shared this gospel with. And I think that's important for us to recognize. I've never loved people enough. Sometimes we feel like, yeah, I've shown enough love. You know what? This past week, maybe you think, I let someone ahead of me at the checkout. I showed love. Or maybe I paid it forward at a fast food restaurant. I showed love this past week. Or, you know what? I was nice the first half of the week, at least. And we can justify our, you know what? I'm a pretty good person mindset as Christians. I've done a pretty good job. But that's not the way I'm to think as a Christian. I'm not to think, okay, I've paid the debt, I'm good for the rest of the week, now I can live for myself. No. You know what happens when you start living selfishly? You don't live like Christ. You say, am I supposed to be just serving and serving and serving and serving and serving and giving and helping and loving all the time? Yeah. You say, that'll be miserable. Yeah, this guy is really having a rough time called Paul, and he just hates that he has to tell other people about this too, doesn't he? I'm being serious about this. Our mindset needs to change. I love watching my kids serve with a gracious and glad heart. Now, is that ever a challenge for any of us? Yeah. Do you know who gives them an example or should be giving them an example? And whenever I see it lacking, you know who I know is the problem? My example makes a big difference. Your example makes a big difference. Paul is setting himself here as one who is declaring the gospel unashamedly, and at the outset he says why. And you and I need to be reminded of the why. Why we serve at all. We are debtor. We are debtor. Putting ourselves in that kind of position is so important. That is the kind of debt that motivates. It's an obligation. And Paul's mindset was, I'm concerned for the people in Spain, as we talked about. And he hadn't even gotten to Rome yet, and he's thinking about souls that he is a debtor to in regions beyond the region he hasn't been to. I'm caring for you in Rome, and I'm caring for people way over in places beyond you. And because of that, I have a desire to be with you and to solidify you in the gospel and to see the gospel spread from among you. That's the reason why. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, we see the why. Look at with me very quickly, number 2. Who? Not only why must he tell, he's a debtor, but who must he tell? In verse 14 he says, for I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am a debtor to you at Rome, he says in verse number 15, to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. In verse number 16 he will say, he wants to share the gospel to who? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's a group of people that Paul has on his mind, and it is broad. And I think that is a significant thing. Paul's audience is not limited by language or culture, wealth, intelligence, or social class. Intelligent and unintelligent would be the idea there of the Greek or barbarian. And in this way, the barbarians would be those who were not familiar with the Greek language. And he speaks of those that were in the know of the language of their time and the people who were not as much in the know. And by the way, does language barrier ever cause there to be some kinds of divisions of who gets what? Sure. Sure. That's been true in our country since the beginning. It's been true throughout nations, throughout time. It's interesting right now how that affects the gospel. I was just talking yesterday to Steve Butler at the funeral, and he was telling me about a trip he had taken to Turkey, and that there was a missionary that he and others were working with that had done some things with refugees in Turkey. In Turkey, you can't proselytize or share the gospel as openly as you can in some places around the world, but they had no problem with them interacting with these refugees who were coming through Turkey trying to get to Europe. Why? Well, because they're kind of like the nobodies to them. They don't care. They're not connected to business or structure of life, and they really didn't care if they proselytized, shared the gospel with those people. You know, Paul says, I want to share the gospel to everybody. The downtrodden, the people that have no love amongst some people, and the people that are loved greatly. And it's important that we see it's both. We don't just try to reach the downtrodden and not reach someone else. When we go knock on doors here in Franklin, we go to everywhere. Trailer parks to the bigger houses in town. We're going to go to both. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to talk to everybody. Why? Because that's what the gospel is able to impact. Everybody. So why just pick one niche? There's oftentimes people that, I just want to help reach, you know, someone in this kind of niche type situation, you know? Well, and to the exclusion of others, that's dangerous. That will only lead towards pride. By the way, we have to be willing to say, anyone, God, that you show me or bring to me across my path or that is interacting with, that you want me to speak to, I am willing to. Regardless of their color, regardless of their social status, regardless of their condition in life, I'm willing. And Paul is telling us here who he would share this with and who he must tell this with. I'm debtor to both, he says. I'm obligated to both. You know, you ought to see your obligation is to every single person. A lot is spoken of inclusion these days, right? Of we're going to welcome this person and this person and this person. Here's what I say. The gospel is inclusive. It's for everybody. You say, what do you mean it's inclusive? I don't mean anybody can come as they want to come and add to or take away what they want to take away. Here's what I will tell you. Jesus Christ died for sinners. All men are sinners, right? Is that true? Did he die for sinners? Red, yellow, black, and white. Are they precious in his sight? Every one of them. Every one of them. We need to be careful that we don't just get focused in on what we want to do in declaring the gospel. And Paul's heartbeat was for everyone. You know, church, we've got to have an attitude that says, we know the gospel can change the lives and hearts of the wickedest of sinners and the cleanest of our society. And I say cleanest because there are many who look good on the outside and have a facade of goodness and moralness, but they are just as much in need of the Savior as the person who is in obvious wickedness. The gospel is for everyone. Who must Paul tell? Everyone. Greeks, barbarians. He'll speak of Jew or Gentile, both. They must be shared with. Paul went to everyone. You know, Paul had an opportunity to go and speak before King Agrippa. He would declare the gospel before a man like a king. He would declare the gospel before a slave named Onesimus. Both needed Christ. Both could be saved. Both could be saved. We have an immensely blessed nation. And we do well to not just think of who do I want to see in these pews. Who does God want to see us reach? Everyone. You know, we will, in the weeks and months ahead, have opportunities to go and bring in people. Are you ready for that to take place? You know, we've seen a lot of folks come in the doors of this church in the last year, and you all have welcomed them incredibly well. You have shown the love of Christ to people. Are you ready to do that more? By the way, does that take work and effort? See the smile on my face? Yeah, of course it does. Why is that? Because nothing easy or nothing worth doing well or that God wants is going to be done easy. It's not that let's find the easiest way to grow a church. Let's find the fastest and most comfortable way to grow a church. Let's find the easiest people to work with and work with them. No, no, no. Let's find the people that God wants us to share the gospel with, and let's talk to them of Christ, and let's be passionate about everyone being a candidate for us to share the gospel with. Immensely, immensely blessed. You know, we may finish here today. In 2 Kings 7, there's the story told of the northern kingdom being besieged by the Syrians. And the city of Samaria was surrounded. The people were hungry, dying. And some lepers from the camp go out in the night, basically thinking, you know, we're not going to get anything here because there's nothing. And if they kill us, so what? And they go to the camp of the Syrians, but there's something very interesting. In the night, God has created a large noise, and those chariots' sounds were heard, and they thought, how did they do this? They've got reinforcements, and they run for their lives. And they leave everything, their tents, their food, their gold, their silver. They take off. And those lepers come upon that. And they're just having a great time. They're eating, they're enjoying all this. They can't believe what they're experiencing. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 7, 9, then they said one to another, what we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. You know what those men realized? Wow, look at all this. This is good. We're saved. You know what? It's not good for us just to sit here and enjoy this. It's actually evil for us just to sit here and enjoy this. We ought to go tell. They, perhaps out of fear for some mischief. I will tell you, Christian, it is mischief on our part to neglect what we are debtor to. And I don't think that we ought to declare the gospel because we're afraid of God doing something to us in one sense. However, it is God's desire that people know what he has done through Jesus Christ for the redemption of mankind, isn't it? And if we're not in obedience to take that or to talk of it or to do something with it, we are to expect the chastening of the Lord. Now, I know that this is a church that loves the gospel and you give out tracts and you talk about the Savior. But can I remind you, if you and I enjoy too much of the joys and wealth of being in Christ and do not equally enjoy what we're called to, which is declaring Christ to others, we're off balance. And Paul's heartbeat at the outset of this introductory letter is that they would be a people who see we have been given something so that we can give it. And we are debtor. We are obligated. And we're obligated to everyone. And I didn't even get to how they must tell, which we'll look at next week. But they are to see Paul's example. And he'll say, so much as in me is. I mean, there is, as every ounce of my fiber can be given to this, I'm going to give myself to giving out the gospel. I'm going to talk of it. I'm going to be fervent in it. And we'll look at this next week, but there was a readiness. And we can be a people who this morning see we've been given great things. And today is a day of good tidings, isn't it? If you know Christ as your Savior, you rejoice today. And you can continue to rejoice throughout the day. But as you're rejoicing in what you've received, remember that you're a debtor. And that you're a debtor to all of humanity, all of mankind. And that debt isn't finished. It's not paid. It's not like, okay, I got to the end of the day. Ding, I'm done. I can take my vacation now. There's a place for vacation. Don't hear me wrong. Your pastor probably should take one more often. Okay? Vacations are right. But spiritually vacation? No. No. Mental vacation from my obligation? No. You know, we're always under a responsibility to see the harvest, to see the people, and to say, God, who do you want me to speak to today? You know that God will show you that. You know, some of you are going to go out to eat in just a few minutes. There is probably someone who might wait on your table who is without Christ. You know, you can start a conversation with your waitress and leave a good tip and a track. And even put your phone number on the back. Women, ladies, you may never have thought of that, but if you have a female waitress, write your name and your number on the back of a track and say, call me if you've got any questions about what you read. You might be shocked people will call you. They really will. You say, they do that? People have questions these days. Something simple. Put my wife's phone number if you don't want to have them talk to you. It's okay. Or one of the other ladies. Shirley. Give them Shirley's number. Men? Sorry, Shirley. Hey, you know what? We can have opportunities. And you don't have to be, you know, Pastor, I just am not good at talking. I'm not good at sharing that. That's okay. Are you willing to be used because you see that you're a debtor? If your willingness is there, do you know God will empower the rest of that? The verse says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. You don't have to be the power. The gospel is. And let's be people who see that we're debtors to declare that good news. Friend, if you're here and you've not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, can I tell you that this that we're talking about, this debt that Paul had, was because he saw that God was merciful to him. And God will be merciful to anyone who sees that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for their sin. God's mercy is towards mankind through Jesus Christ. You can be just, righteous, because of Jesus Christ if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ today and not in yourself. That's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And you can be saved today and know it. And if you're watching and don't know that with certainty, I'd encourage you today to call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, admitting your need as a sinner, and put your faith in Jesus Christ today and be saved. And friend, you can know that with certainty. The Bible says very clearly, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're thankful for that truth. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? I know that we've shared much this morning from Scriptures, but I want to ask you this morning, how is your obligation, your understanding of your obligation to talk of Christ, to share him? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you know him personally as your Savior, you know how much grace and kindness has been shown to you. Is that in front of your mind as you see other people? Is that in front of your mind as you see why and who you must talk to, you must care about, you must love? Perhaps this morning God pointed out that that has waned as far as its perspective, its focus, and there's a need this morning for it to become in focus again. That I am a debtor, and that I can share Christ because I have been given something special, something wonderful in the gift of salvation through Jesus. And there are others who need to hear it too. And perhaps this morning God pointed out to you, I need to have that in my mind more, that I am a debtor, that I have a responsibility. And you'd say, Pastor, pray for me that I would fulfill my responsibility to share Christ with others. I would have that mindset. Maybe that's you this morning and God worked in your heart in that way. I'd encourage you in a moment perhaps just to come and take a few moments to pray. Maybe God even burdened someone. Maybe that who, God brought someone to your mind. Maybe even someone that you've avoided because they're hard to love. They're hard to share the gospel with. They're hard to talk to. Or maybe a group of people that you should be burdened more for, but you've ignored or been biased against. Can I encourage you this morning? Come and get on your knees and give that to God and watch him take you and use you to share Christ with others this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come, and I would love to share with you how you can have that settled this morning, how you can know with certainty what it is to have your sin forgiven and to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, please work now in this time of invitation. Help us who know Christ as our Savior to have a laser focus on our obligation. And Lord, thank you that you've done